Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio. You are listening to the No Romance Without Finance show. I'm your host, Vernon Muhammad. And the theme music takes me back to the good old days when I was a wee lad, when I was known as Mr. V-Ski up in Queens, New York. Peace and blessings and a shout out to the GMC crew, the 82 Boys, the New York City Breakers, and the Beat Street crew. I just had to go back for a moment. I feel so good at the right now. How you feeling, Sister Gidget?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Vernon, and how are you this evening?
Alaikum salam. Yes, indeed. I was hoping for another minute for that song because I was right in the middle of popping and locking, and you know I was really feeling myself. I invented a new move right there. So.
Okay, I just hope you don't get stuck, but okay.
Thank you for having faith in your brother.
Welcome aboard.
I'm glad you joined us tonight. You know, the brother Kamos will not be with us tonight. He is taking care of some other business, and that is quite all right. Today, we have an interesting topic, we have an interesting subject, and we have a few people who are going to call in because quite a few people have experience with bartering and trading as a means of exchange. And I've been talking about community living and forming community and some of the things that take place in the community is everyone looking out for each other's needs and wants, but what makes a community a very true community, a sustainable community, is making sure that the needs of the community are taken care of right within house. If we look and find that every time something is needed, we have to go outside the community, and the community is so dependent on every other entity side of itself, that's a really weak position to be in. So I came across an article recently in the Columbia Flyer, which is the local paper where I live, and talked about this concept of a time bank. We're going to get into what that is. We're also going to be talking about actual bartering and exchanging, what to do if you are exchanging goods and services and you don't have any money, or how do you exchange goods and services with no money. You know, what if you lose your job? What if there's a economic collapse? What if we find out that, just like here in the state of Maryland and most of the East Coast, it's going to be a really bad storm and you can lose power and your food may spoil and everything that could go wrong will go wrong. Chances are the ATM machines won't work. Chances are, if you have to transact business, it's not going to happen Monday morning. So what do you do to get your needs met? Who can you depend on that's around? How are you going to get your needs met? And what if you find out that the people around you, your neighbors, are short or in need of help? Are you in a position to help them? How are you going to make sure that everybody's covered? And how are you going to make sure that you can give and put out and not get shortchanged, and make sure that you're getting something back in return? So we're going to be looking into bartering and exchange and making ends meet without a job, and hopefully we'll have some people who can join into the discussion who've had some experiences with that and have some insight on how we can bring some of the good old days back again. Remember when you had to knock on a neighbor's assistant Gidget and ask for a cup of sugar or, you know, a quart of milk or something like that, and they said, oh, don't worry about it. No, my gosh.
I did that yesterday.
That's what I'm talking about. You find yourself in a position. Every one of us may find ourselves in a position.
Okay, brother Vernon, before you go on, I'm sorry, sir. Your phone is going in and out. I just wanted you to know for audio purposes.
It's going in and out. I've been having trouble all day long. People have been telling me that the weather is having an effect. So people that I call and people who call me tell me that my phone has been cutting off, and I've been experiencing that with other people. I think it's due to the weather. So it doesn't make a difference. Is it making a difference with me moving around, or is it still doing the same thing?
Well, I can hear you clearly now, but it kind of sounds like you can go out at any minute. So wherever you are right now, it's pretty good.
Speaking of going out at any minute, I was talking to somebody last night. Don't you know they just started snoring right on the phone, just mid-sentence.
Oh, that could be karma, though. And I'm going to leave that right where that is.
Somehow that just popped into my mind.
Yeah, it could be karma.
All right, I tell you what. I have another phone line that I'm going to call in from, so when we get to our first break, I'm going to find a way to do that switcheroo, and I'm going to join you on the other line. But I'm hoping that we get a call from Maryland, because a good brother named Eric said he's had experience with barter and trade, actually exchanging goods and services, products and services, for like kind. And he made a statement on Facebook. He said that it's possible that it's probable that we won't see much of that going on nowadays, because we have people who don't really understand how it's supposed to work and how to do it right. He brought up a good point that doing it right entails building relationships. And you know that my antenna went up when he said that, because I've been hawking on that for quite a while now. Building relationships is critical. It's like an underlying principle when you're talking about building community. But he said it's not about the exchange of goods and services, really what it's about is building relationships. So I thought that was interesting. I hope that we get him on the line to weigh in with that. We also have Sister Keisha Muhammad from Atlanta who's going to be calling in. She may have some experiences with that type of scenario. I know that she's very entrenched in community and in where she lives and where she has lived in the past. It's always kind of been a make sure you establish the right kind of connections with people type of situation. So I'm anxious to hear and learn some of what she has to say. And for those of you who are listening out there, I hope that you can join the discussion as well. If you feel like you want to jump on the bandwagon, get yourself in, call in at 646-716-5971 and press 1. I'll certainly bring you into the conversation. Welcome to the people who are in the chat room. We got a few people who are trickling in now. We got Dead Shepherd and we got a guest in there. And we've got some more people who will be joining us shortly. So I'm going to take our first break, see if I can't connect through this alternative phone device, and hopefully we'll be back with a word from our sponsor in just a few minutes.
Yes, sir.
Back to the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio. This is the No Romance Without Finance show. I'm your host, Brother Vernon Muhammad, and I'm here with my good sister from way down yonder, Sister Gidget Muhammad. All right. Our sponsor for this show and for every show that we've done so far is a wonderful company called Freedom Paper Company. For those of you who don't know, they're a wonderful group of brothers and sisters who have gotten together and formed their own bathroom tissue company, their own paper products company, pardon me. The main product, the flagship product, is Freedom Bathroom Tissue. But in addition to bathroom tissue, they're also producing paper towels, trash can liners, liquid soap, and loads of products that you can find in residential and in commercial settings. So those of you who have businesses of your own, office spaces, doctor's offices, schools, daycares, churches, mosques, whatever the case may be, if you have a bathroom, if you have a kitchen, think Freedom Paper Company. Buy black, support companies that support you and your community. Go to freedompapercompany.com and find out more about what they have to offer. All right. Sister Gidget, can you hear me? Am I coming through loud and clear? I tried to do the connection thing while I was out on this call and while we were on a break, and for whatever reason, I just could not connect.
Can you hear me clearly? Well, you sound loud and clear, sir.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you. So let me get into this discussion here. I want to share what really made my eyes almost roll back in my head and made me do a double flip when I opened up this newspaper and I found out about time banking. A time bank, the headline says, Time Bank Emerging as Local Alternative Economy. And it talks about a community exchange that's run by this the town group called the Columbia Association, and now has 275 members. And basically what it is, for those of you who aren't familiar with time banking, it gives an example. There's a lady who's doing a yard sale, and she needs to get all of the stuff together and organize it and set up for the yard sale. But she needs some help doing that. So one of her neighbors, one of the people who are a member of this community exchange, joined her, came to help out and assist her for an hour or two doing this, setting up for this yard sale. After the yard sale was over, they went ahead and, exchanged the information about how many hours and what time was put in. And then it turns out that the lady who came to help out, she was a massage therapist. So just like she came and put in an hour or two to assist with the setup of this yard sale, she was able to put her time in, and then the person who she came and helped out was able to draw on that time. Turns out she was a massage therapist, so the person who came to help out ended up getting an hour or 2 hours of massage, and the compensation was the time that was put in. So instead of money, they're trading in the currency of time. I thought that was such a phenomenal idea. This article goes on and talks about other people. Somebody needed help cleaning out their garage for an hour. Another lady needed help doing some yard work, had some limbs that fell and needed to be chopped up, and then the leaves and whatnot needed to be raked. So her son came, helped the lady out, and they ended up getting another hour. That is a phenomenal idea and way for a community to operate. And it certainly was on my mind, over the last few days, because we're talking about a storm approaching. We're talking about making sure that you have everything that you need and who's around you. How do you make sure that you get done the things that you need to have done? I was just getting ready to go and assist a good friend of mine clean out their gutters, because, if your gutters get all clogged up and whatnot and it starts to rain, that could possibly present a problem. You find water leaking into your house. You certainly want to do that before you get to an approaching storm or something like that. But by doing that, by offering my time like that, that bought me about an hour or two possibly of some future benefit that I'll be able to call on in the future, just because I was willing to not necessarily come out of my pocket with money, but I was willing to put my time and my energy in, knowing that that would be of value to someone else, and I have a return coming off of that. What if we decided to live like that? What if we decided to implement and institute that as a norm in our communities, just with the people that we live around? Imagine if times got hard and you actually needed something from your neighbors, but you go knock on somebody's door and they stick a gun out at you. You're just going over there. You're going over there because you don't have no water, you don't have any candles to light yours with, and everybody goes for themselves. That's a tough place to be in, isn't it?
Yes, sir. And, Brother Vernon, if you don't mind, I just wanted to add that, this custom of bartering and time banking is not a new custom. It's a very old and traditional custom, especially in the villages in Africa. More than likely, when the women, in particularly, and the men too, would get up in age, and they could no longer work, and this was before the exchange of money, then they would do what they could do. If it was basket weaving, if it was watching the children, they would do those things, and the younger people in the village would go and gather the goods or supply the goods that they needed, whether it was, you know, beans to cook or pull grains to cook or, you know, bring goat milk or meat or whatever. They would supply the elderly with their needs, and still everybody in the community was working together to, you know, fulfill the needs of everyone in the community. You know, everyone had a particular craft or something that they, you know, had an expertise in. And so before there was the exchange of money, you know, I would make you a dress and then you would come and, you know, patch up a hole in my roof or whatever, you know. So this has been going on for a long time, but when we started, you know, trading commodities and money, we kind of got away from that. But since we all know that America is now going broke, it might be something that we need to consider. Also, for small businesses, you know, sometimes it's hard for you to pay someone to do something. So, you know, if you're a handyman and there's a sister, you know, a brother who has impeccable computer skills, you might can get them to do a couple hours of work, and you might can send someone over to do their landscaping. I mean, it's really amazing how time will make you come back to the origin of where we started from.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, call me sentimental, call me what you will, but something about that way of life just appeals to me so much. I would love to be able to break my dependence on you know, having to have cash, which I know is losing its value. I would love to be able to break my need to go out and put all of my time and my energy into a job, you know, a just over broke scenario, when I could be putting that time into something that will cover my needs anyway. You know, you're using, obviously there are some things that we're still going to have to use cash for if you have any level of activity in the society as it is today. You know, even the Amish, you know, they may ride their horse and buggy into town, but they sure set up them cash registers when it's time to set up the Amish market, you know. So you may need gas, you may need other supplies, where obviously you're going to have to spend the capital and the currency of the society that we're in. But here's a homework assignment for everybody out there. What are the things, what items, what goods, what services could you actually provide or offer to someone? Think about what you have to offer first. What is it that you can do? Can you fix cars? Do you take, do you babysit? Do you take care of children, of youth? There's something that every one of us has to offer that someone else will find of value. You know, you may have a product. You may be the person in the neighborhood that bakes the best cakes. You may be the person in the neighborhood that actually knows how to sew. If, you know, instead of people going to the cleaners that seem to be down the block to, you know, get the hems let out and taken in or whatever, you could be the one in the neighborhood or in the community that does that for everybody. Think like that. Start thinking about what it is you have to offer, because eventually we're going to get to a point where what we have to offer can be put on the trading block, and we can create and establish a market for ourselves to do this on. Now, when I raised this question on Facebook and I got feedback from several people, As I said, there were, you know, some people who weighed in, some people said, or some people made it sound like it wasn't all it was cracked up to be. So I was asking people who may have some experience with that, asked a couple of people to call in, and I see we have one of the callers on the line now. Is this caller from 301, is this Brother Eric?
Yes, sir.
As-salamu alaykum. Peace and blessings. Good to see you, my brother.
Well, alaykum salam. Glad to be on your show.
All right, all right. We got quite a few callers in the queue there, so you're one of the first to get on, and we'll make sure that we keep people moving along. If you are listening on the phone and you want to weigh in on the conversation, join the conversation, please press 1, and I will definitely bring you in. Brother Eric, Sister Gidget is on the line with us as well. Give it a greeting.
Assalamu alaikum, sis.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. How are you?
I am fine. And yourself?
I am blessed by Allah's grace, and thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, I'm glad to be on.
Yes, sir.
I'm doing well, too, Sister Gidget. Thank you for asking. So, Brother Eric,
yes, sir.
You said that you had experiences with bartering and trade. What was your experience like? Tell us a little bit about your experience.
Well, it's funny that you had mentioned being a mechanic, because that is my field of expertise. I've owned a couple of garages, which I've sold, and basically moved on to other things. But being in that business, you kind of find where people come in and they don't have all the money to, you know, pay for the repairs. So in return, you kind of offset what they owe versus something they may be able to help you with, or something they can do in return for knocking off some of the bill. And one of the statements that I made in reference to people not really understanding how the bartering system works is because we think once we get what we want out of that person, the relationship is over. You know, we walk away, we go our separate ways, and hopefully we don't have to do that again. You know, hopefully the next time I deal with you or see you, I have what you're looking for so that we don't have to go through this. But being raised in the South, you see it firsthand, because I was. You know, if somebody had eggs and the other person had milk, of course the bartering system is not going to be on a level playing field, because the person that may need something always going to may come to you with less, but the offset is what can they do to make it a balance. But what you're looking for is the relationship. It ain't necessarily the goods of exchange. It's to build the relationship so that everything that you just spoke about cleaning the gutters, or, you know, helping a person put leaves in a bag, or cutting their grass when one may be sick, that's what you're looking to build, is a relationship. You're just not looking to get what you come to get and then leave and not have any more conversation after everything is said and done. And that's kind of, I think, the misconception of the bartering is people in general don't want to be bothered with it, because they always feel that I'm going to give more than I'm going to get. And it makes it a kind of a... I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but it kind of makes it an uneven playing field, because people don't really know what to expect when they go to barter. And for me personally, I don't have a problem bartering. I mean, because as I said, I saw it firsthand. You know, being raised in the South, my mother and father had a farm, and there were neighbors who had cows and all of that stuff. So when it came time to barter, you may have my neighbor bring over some veal and my family give him some okra or some corn. But on Sunday, that neighbor and my family would eat together. And once we eat together, if he saw my mother in the yard doing something that he knew shouldn't be doing, he would come over and help. So the bartering just wasn't a matter of exchanging goods. It grew into families and neighbors becoming one and looking out for each other.
Wow, yeah. I see what you're saying about the expectation. You know, if someone comes and, you know, you're giving up one thing, let's say you're a mechanic, you know, you're going to put in time and labor to do whatever the task entails. And really, it's up to you. It's up to the person who is going to, you know, who's going to accept whatever they're getting in return or in exchange for their initial offering. Like, if you're the mechanic, you agree to fix my car, whatever it may need, then it's up to you to establish what the value of what I have is going to be. If all I have is, hey, well, you know, I can help you clean out your basement one Saturday, you may say, well, okay, you know, you need to do that. And when the fall comes and I got to rake all of these leaves, you got to do that too. But I think that if number one, we change our perception and change the way that we think about exchange, because we're so locked in money, you know, everything has a specific number value to it. You know, that's got to be $5. That's got to be $50. If we can lose that and just understand that a big part of this whole alternative economy that we're talking about, whether it's bartering and exchange, whether it's time banking, a big part of that is just understanding that you are serving someone's needs, whatever that need is, whether it's big or small, whether it's you need to have a tooth pulled and you find something to barter with the dentist about, or whether you just need your shoes shined and you just, you know, barter with the cab driver. You know, I'll shine your shoes, you give me a ride to the airport. Whatever it is, if we can let go of the preconceived notion that it has to equal a certain number to say that it has value, then the idea of me taking care of what you need, you taking care of what I need, covers so much base, covers so much territory. Sister Gidget has given me some wonderful advice, some advice that has actually saved me a lot of headache and a lot of heartache. So in return, I feel like I'm in her debt. Whatever it is that she needs that I can help her with, I'm looking for the opportunity to return that favor. That's an exchange right there, you know. It spent time for her to do that, to explain what she was talking about and get me to understand it. But once I saw it and I was able to implement and utilize what she gave me, I got a return off of it. So there's the value. So now I have to turn around and, you know, find a way to add value back to her life. And it's up to her to determine what, you know, how valuable what I have to offer is. But right. As long as we both agree that we reached a fair exchange, then we got something that's golden. And like you say, build a relationship. So it's not just a one time and, you know, we're gone, never see one another. I'm big on building community. I've, you know, had conversations with people till they were blue in the face. So it's an ongoing thing. Let's find out how we're going to do this again. Let's find out something else that we can exchange that will take care of your needs and that will take care of my needs. So I get what you're saying, Brother Eric.
And can I add something, gentlemen? You know, the one thing about in the African villages, of course, the community owned the village. We really, really have to think about land ownership. When we think about constructing businesses and homes, and we incorporate bartering into that, you know, sometimes it's difficult to pay someone to come and do repairs on your home or do repairs in your business. But if we have people who have that skill set in our community and we actually own these structures in our community, it can save a lot of money, and people who own businesses will be more than happy to exchange whatever services they have to offer to the community in exchange for bartering. You know, I'd rather call Brother Vernon over to, you know, fix my central heat and air than to call some, you know, white-owned corporate American company to come in and do what he can do. And in turn, whatever services I'm offering, I can offer to him. But ownership is the key, because certainly, you know, if you're renting a house, you know, you're not going to call someone to come and fix it, you know, especially when it's the landlord's house. So we also really need to think about ownership when we're talking about this as well.
No doubt about that. No.
I absolutely agree, sis. And that comes back to the money. But if we take notes from all the groups of individuals that come to America, of course, you know, the Hispanic brothers and sisters and everybody else, how they come together and they help every family that's in their community eventually become homeowners. One of my neighbors, you know, I remember he at one time he had about four or five people living in his house. Now it's just him and his wife. And I'm like, I never got into his business of asking if that's his immediate family, sister, brother, whoever. I mean, we just have our cross the street conversations and he go his way and I go mine. But I know in the last year and a half, the house seem to be empty. It's just him, you know, his wife, and I, from my understanding, is they pooled their resources and they were able to buy them a house across the street from where I live. And I'm like, wow. So what you're saying about ownership is definitely the key, because you can't barter off of somebody else's, you know, dime. I mean, you have to barter off of what you have. And if you don't own your house, of course, you're not going to call, you know, someone over to do something to it and you're renting the property or, you know, some of that nature. So, yeah, ownership is definitely one of the things we have to look into. But we also have to look at, you know, the ultimate sacrifice, and that's, you know, we take an ownership of helping each one reach that goal, you know, as far as owning their own property. And then, of course, the bartering would work a lot better versus, you know, trying to barter with the brother who's in the apartment or trying to barter with the brother who, not saying he don't have anything, but just may be in that rut where, you know, I don't really have anything to offer you. You know, I don't really have a trade. I don't really have anything that I can do very well. And, you know, we don't really want to do any real hard manual labor. So it's like, wow, how do we make this work? So, yeah, ownership is definitely the start. But then at some point, we're going to have to train our brothers and sisters so that they can have something to offer.
Yes, sir. Each one teach one. And, you know, even in land ownership, brother, you know, sometimes, you know, I may not have the money to buy 5 acres, but maybe if I got 5 or 6 or 7 other people and we can buy 5 acres of land and produce that land to whatever we want to do, it could still be a group effort. We're still, you know, establishing a relationship. We're still offering whatever skill sets we have. We're going to have to learn how to work together and do things in groups instead of, you know, all about I. We have to learn how to turn the I into a us, into a we.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, y'all are on point. You really hit something good. And, Brother Eric, you were talking about the people that think that they don't have something to offer. And if you think about a job, which really, you know, is going to, our idea of what it means to have a job or get a job is going to have to change if we're going to survive. All you're doing at a job, or, you know, up until the economy started changing and things in the game started to change, all we were really doing on our job is trading time for compensation in the form of a paycheck. If you go there, there are people who actually have gotten good at going to a place for a certain amount of time and doing very little
right,
and coming away with a paycheck. So people are good at exchanging time. The new currency really is time. If you have the time to offer someone and you don't know exactly what to do when you're there on your own, I'm sure someone could give you something to do. Time is very valuable. An extra set of hands, an extra set of legs, a second back to lift a load with, all of that, when you factor it by time, is very valuable. Let me read you something from this this article here that talks about time banking in the alternative economy. It says the program is important in hard times, especially in hard times, especially in this economy. Time banking helps to redefine work and the value of work. Okay, so that kind of goes into what I'm saying about rethinking what it means to have and to get a job. The idea that you're going to go somewhere and, you know, just be paid to be there, is that's kind of gone. You know, you're going to have or find something to offer, but it does start with your time. What are you willing to put your time and your energy into that will add value to somebody else's lives? The key is finding a way to add value to others. It says membership in time banks has exploded. It ebbs and flows with people's lives. Time banking is growing in popularity regionally, nationally, and even internationally, with some 300 time banks around the country and more in Europe. Yeah, so it's something that's taken on a life. I don't know exactly where it started. I'm trying to find out a little bit more information on that. I've seen where they reference five-year-old time banks and things of that nature, but I think as Sister Gidget was saying, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. This is not a new concept. The idea of living as a community and everybody taking care of the needs of the whole is nothing new. But as I'm doing research, as I'm, you know, relearning about the existence of some of these things in the world, I'm finding that there are some very, very large cooperative economics, collaborative efforts that are going on. I was reading about this one cooperative corporation called Mondragon, whatever, M-O-N-D-R-A-G-O-N, Mondragon. I think it's in Europe. I think it's in Spain. It's an 89,000 member cooperative, okay? So all that is people basically working together. They've all invested equally or, you know, to whatever degree they could for a common ownership in this big corporation. This corporation now is like the seventh largest employer in the country of Spain, and it's an international corporation. And all it is people coming together, pooling their resources, and making sure that the needs of the whole outweigh the needs of any one individual. They're all putting their effort, energy, and time into the survival and the progress of this one entity, Mondragon Corporation. So when you get a chance, look that up. See how ideas like this are playing out in other parts of the world, and then, again, come back to your homework. Ask yourself, what of value can I offer? How can I begin to make this a reality in my own small circle, in my church, in my mosque, in my group, wherever it is that I am? How can I begin to add value to others, and what of value would I be willing to accept from others in exchange? We got another caller who is on the line, caller from 678. I want to make sure I give you a chance to weigh in. Introduce yourself.
Assalamu alaikum to everyone. This is Akisha calling from Atlanta.
Well, alaikum
salam, queen.
I wanted to weigh in regarding bartering. I'm actually in a situation that I do barter for services with some sisters from Africa. And it's a wonderful experience to be able to have services that you can barter for. How it works for me is we predetermine those services. Okay, this is what I can offer for a trade of some sort, and these are services that I can't offer for trade. And that's something that I think that as the black community here in America, we are not well versed on making that communication clear. because we do, in some cases, do need the international form of trade, which is money. So we have to make very clear up front what services we are willing to barter for, what we do need money for, and make that clear with the person prior to rendering the services. Because, you know, it can be to confusion, well, oh, I thought we were going to barter for this, when that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case established at the beginning.
You thought wrong, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's just miscommunication, and we're not really good at communicating effectively, but I believe that we can do that. And also what I think is very beneficial, especially for those people who know each other, because we'll spend more money outside of our community because we know that there may not be any wiggle room. I think that it would be more conducive for us as a community to deal with each other if we had some in-house fees for those who are intermingling with us. Like, say, for instance, Sister Gidget knows that I sew, but for people who are within my community who are close to me, there's a set price that they pay. And that's what happens in any community. Because if you go to the Chinese community, they're not paying the same amount that they would pay outside of the Chinese community within themselves. So we're going to have to establish that price and not go for the consensus of, well, you'll go outside and pay more money, but you don't want to pay me. You know what I'm saying? Because we do get into that conflict and that dialogue with each other sometimes because we feel like, you know, our services are worth more, and people outside of our community will pay more. They will. However, if we want more of us to keep and catch on to the idea, then we do have to encourage them that way. That's just my thoughts about it and how it works.
Now, when Brother Eric was speaking, I mentioned that somehow we're going to have to get out of the frame of thinking that I need a certain amount. You know, I, if you come to me, whatever this is that I have that you want, you're going to have to meet me at this level. How do you think we approach that? We can change the thinking and understand that, hey, you know, it's not about a level or it's not about a certain amount of dollars. But if you come to me and you say you have a need, I give you what it is that you need. And when I ask you for something in return, I'm not asking you for something that's going to break your back. You know, I'm asking you for whatever it is that I know that you have that you can offer that I need. But that really takes a shift in mindset. So how do we begin to approach this and make it a reality among other people who either aren't familiar with it or who are in your community and, you know, maybe just slow to get with it?
I believe that we can establish a point system, a system that is equated to the services that you render. So everybody is clear on the term.
Are you listening to this on your computer and your phone as well?
No. No, I actually have it off. I don't know. Yeah, I actually have it off. But the thing is, I believe whenever we set up this system, and you know, we don't have to be in a close vicinity to actually do it. We can actually do it on the web. And we can We can do it on the web. We can section it off by area, by different regions in the country, and everybody get an opportunity to log in. And they list their services on what, and in what area and what region you want. And you can check what region that you live in, and we can say, okay, this person provides this type of service, and this is what they are requesting. So we can do that by region and actually kind of house everything to do it within our community, the Muslim community. We can do it, and it can be achieved, but we need to establish a point system up front. This is how much this has, and this is how much it equates, and this is what I can trade based on this certain service. So no one is feeling like they're overstretched. because with bartering, you can get into that gray area where you're overstretched. And I've been there, so I know. So you just got to understand, you know, whenever you provide these services, that, you know, that you can give what you say that you're able to give. And what you can't be upfront and say, you know, I need the international form of trade. And you can provide it at a discount. I do it often.
Okay. So I get what you're saying. You, as opposed to what I was suggesting or what I was thinking, you're saying upfront, really, you do need to establish that firm. This is what this is worth. You know, if I'm a dentist and you want me to pull one of your teeth, that's 1 gallon of milk that you're going to give me. If you got 2-3 teeth that need to be pulled, or you need to come up off of 3 gallons of milk.
Yeah, because it's time. You know, it's time that the person is putting into it. That time can be creating revenue, and a system has to be in place. If you're going to remove a system, you need to have another system that's going, an alternate that needs to be in place. So you can put it on a point system. Say for 2 points, I can sew your garment for you. You know, for example. And it's going to take it's going to take maybe an hour to do that work. So that hour you set aside for that particular job. And for this hour, sister, I need you to take me to the mosque on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Because that's gas and that's time and that's your handiwork. So those things you have to establish up front. You can put a point system. You can establish the terms of the agreement up front. But those things need to be clear. If you want to really organize it, I would suggest putting it on a point system. You can put it on the World Wide Web and barter away. I'm pretty sure there are even shows now on television that encourage bartering, or they see different methods of bartering. And some people do it very well and get very big items that they barter for.
Yeah, no, thinking outside the box is has some very great rewards. I was having a conversation last week about starting a susu. And for those of you who don't know, it's another ancient concept, nothing new under the sun. Practiced heavily in the West Indian community and as well as some African communities, a group of people. Everything is based on the community. See, a group of people get together, and whenever payday comes for everybody, they all put some money into the pot. You know, they all put an equal amount into the pot, $50 a pay period, $100 a pay period. And they, you know, however many people are in the circle, everybody gets, you know, 1 to 15, however many people there are. First week, number one gets it. Second week, number two gets it. Third week, they all wait till payday, you know, put the money in, and number three gets it. And they just keep it going around like that. People have been able to do that and finance the purchase of their home, or, you know, take care of college tuition and whatever the case may be. So even though this is a small concept and seems like it's something foreign, there's a lot of weight and a lot of value to this. So for those of you who are listening, really take your time and research into the idea of bartering. Go on and Google time banking, Google alternative economy, and see what comes up, and begin asking yourself, how can I implement this where I am? Sister Keisha brings up a good idea about using the internet, which I guess would allow people to work at a distance to get what they need. So, Sister Gidget, I'm wondering, you know, you being way out there in Boondocka, you know, Latin America, wherever you are, how do you think getting what you need from the people that you're connecting to, what do you see you being able to barter and exchange in terms of needs and services? You know, we're talking in simple example, you know, a dentist pulling teeth and somebody giving some milk or something like that. But can you think of things that you would need, or how it would work if you were working with somebody clear across the country?
Well, particularly in my case, me being a counselor in various areas of, you know, sexual abuse, physical abuse, child advocate, marriage, I could barter my services for administrative work because you know yourself, I'm not a technocrat, so I'm always needing, you know, assistance with my computers or whatever. So I would not mind offering my services in exchange for maybe some administrative work. And like Sister Keisha said, I'm in total agreement with her when it comes to time. You know, even for a mechanic, you know, maybe he might need his tax returns done, or maybe he may need some bookkeeping. He may have worked on my car for 2 hours so I could go and balance his books for 2 hours. I mean, we all have something that we can offer. As you know, doing the radio shows, I spend an awful lot of time doing research. You know, I could offer, you know, counseling services, advice or whatever to family members or, you know, people who have children who may be in the juvenile court system in exchange for, you know, them doing some research. I mean, it just depends on, you know, what skill sets that we have, being able to utilize everyone in the community and in our region, you know. So the door is really wide open for many exchanges of goods and services, not just in the immediate area, because, of course, you know, I'm out here all by myself. There are no other believers around me, but I'm in close proximity with everyone around the country via the web and telephone all the time. So it can be done.
Brother Vernon, can I say something?
No, sir, you can't say nothing, brother.
I can't say anything?
Yes, sir, you're part of the discussion, brother.
Pay him no mind, please.
But what I wanted to say, basically, you know, with the bartering system, now you have to wonder what kind of quality of work you're getting. I think it would be very difficult for me to get somebody 3 gallons of milk and want them to pull my teeth and not know if they're, you know, the best of the best who basically is going to perform the procedure. And that, I mean, even with money, that's kind of what you get when you go out and pay somebody for their services is, you know, based on whatever research you do, okay, this company is good, you pay your money, and then there's a problem, you take it back. What if you barter that service? Is that person going to say, well, it was only 2 hours. I mean, I gave you 3 gallons of milk. I'll pull your teeth. I mean, I didn't know you was going to have an infection. I didn't know this was going to happen. Then it becomes no more of this we bartering. It becomes a legal matter. You know, it becomes legal. So what things would be put in place to guarantee that hopefully you're getting the best of the best so that when you exchange what you're exchanging, you know, you leave satisfied and the other person leaves satisfied. And I think without money even being on the table, there's still some kind of imaginary currency being passed that has some kind of legality to it, because if you're really talking about bartering, it's not so much based on that realm of things as far as 2 hours for this and 3 hours for this, because, I mean, I know for a fact growing up, I've been in the fields for hours just so my neighbor can give us some milk and a couple of chickens. And I'm like, are you serious? I was out there that long just for this? And as I said in my Facebook thing, there's never an even playing field. I ain't going to say all the time, but most of the time the field is not even when you're bartering. It's more so for me and you to build a relationship so that as we go through the bartering system, it's like we become family. It's not so much about how many hours you give me or how many minutes I take or any of that. We become family, so it's like the time doesn't matter. You help me paint my whole house, and all I give you is a glass of iced tea. You know, you help me clean my gutters and wash my car, and all we do is sit on the porch and talk about old times. You know, that's the type of bartering that I have seen. And it wasn't about you know, keeping track of time. It wasn't that. I mean, I've seen my family being, you know, cutting each other's grass. You know, one family member gets sick, they cut each other's grass. And it's not a thing of how long it took. It's, okay, hope you be okay. So the bartering system, even though there's no real cash on the table, it seems like the bartering system has some monetary value, because now it's a matter of what you do for me for this and what you do for this for that. And that's going to go right back into what we're trying to get away from, as far as putting a specific value on something where this person may not be able to pay.
Right, and if you don't mind, Brother Eric, let me just say this. You know, what you're speaking of really is the building of communities and things of that nature. And, you know, unfortunately, we kind of live in a society where people will use and misuse you. And so, really, I just think that you should never go outside the scope of what you can do in reality. But it's the hope and it's the prayer and it's the desire of the heart to just be able to accommodate one another, to be able to be there for you when you're in need. Just like you say, you know, Mr. Jones, we know Mr. Jones don't let his grass get that high. We know something is wrong, so we're going to go over there and cut his grass, and, you know, we're not worried about the exchange. And then I know if my car is broke, he'll come over and, you know, fix my vehicle and things of that nature. And things like that come from the desire of the heart. But we have to really plant the seed of the idea of this exchange, because of the condition of our economy today. There are a lot of things that we just simply cannot pay for. And it's not necessarily a perfect system, but it is the beginning of, like you said, the building of those relationships. Once those relationships are established, then the amount of time, it's not second per second, minute per minute, those things, I believe, will go away, because out of the genuine love and care and concern that is, you know, accumulated in the building of that relationship. So prayerfully, we'll get there, brother.
Yes, ma'am. You're giving me hope. I'm glad you said all that. You're giving me hope now.
Yeah. And you know what? Sister Gidget, that exactly, I had that on my heart as well. It's just the goal to establish the relationship first. I mean, have some terms of the agreement. And it will go away. You know, you will start to care about that person, so time is not really of the essence. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many points you build up after the relationship is established. However, getting it established, you know, setting up the groundwork first. These are if we have a disagreement, these are the steps that we're going to see if we're going to remedy it before we separate ways, we part ways. You know, these are based on this person having a bartering agreement. And they can leave a comment, or say, for instance, on a website, I leave a comment, okay, I had a very good experience with so-and-so and so-and-so based on this. And it's up to that individual to research it. You can research a person just like you would research a company. There's no guarantee, even if you go to a company outside of the system, that they're going to give you the services that you are paying for. There's no guarantee. So, I mean, I think when you establish the rules of the engagement up front, then you know what the terms are and you know how to remedy a situation if it comes a disagreement, because not everybody is going to agree. And then after those relationships are established, then you can move toward more of a communal type of situation.
Right. Yes, ma'am. Exactly.
Well, I mean, the reason I said all that, because I mean, I deal with people every day using money, and I know the type of issues and services I get, some good, some bad. And I'm just imagining trying to deal with somebody who I don't have a real relationship with without even have any monetary value on the table. I'm just trying to imagine what kind of exchange would I actually get, you know. So, I mean, what both of the sisters have said have really, you know, given me hope, because I don't think I've, as I told Brother Vernon, I don't think I've bartered with anybody, you know, since I've left the South. And basically it's like, because it's, you know, living in Maryland and Washington, D.C. era, everything is kind of like the dollar rules, you know. Whoever got the most dollars can play the game, and it's always been that way. And it's only a handful of people I've ever met that I can actually do a fair exchange with, and it's not about, you know, how much of this or how much of that. And even dealing with, I mean, believers, it's kind of like, wow, okay, it's like that. And I'm like, wow, you take this off the table and just expect someone to do something because of an hour here or 2 hours there, is it going to get worse, or is it going to stay the same? That was the whole reason behind the question.
Well, you know, sometimes we have to be initiators. You know, we are gods. So sometimes we have to create those situations, Brother Eric. And, you know, if it interests you, get you a bothering group. That's something that you can spark. If it's nothing but four or five of you and you constantly make that exchange between one another, believe me, word of mouth travels and it'll catch on and your group will get bigger.
Yes.
So just give it a try.
One thing that is critical, I get this from this conversation and certainly all the other shows that we've done before, being isolated, being out there on a limb by yourself, is not only is it no fun, but it leaves you unprepared for the times that are up ahead. So if there's anything that I hope to inspire people that I join in the conversation with and people who get a chance to listen to the show, I hope that we can really take on ownership of this idea that we've got to build these relationships, like Brother Eric is saying, and turn the relationships into a real solid, cohesive community. You know, even if you are separated by space and different time zones, you've got to be able to identify people that you can reach out to in your time of need. And not just in your time of need, but we've got to change the culture under which we live so that you have people that you add value to, people that see you as valuable, you and what you have to offer as valuable. You know, that's where the bonds begin to grow and begin to strengthen between us and make us more than just capable and in some instances powerful individuals, but you know, we grow and really become that community that we know we're supposed to be anyway. It may not necessarily exist, you know, like you said, Eric, Brother Erica, you know, in this area cash moves everything around me. Yeah, that's true.
Yes,
but we're at a very peculiar place. You know, I really feel like we're trailblazers, you know, pioneers in terms of developing something that isn't so common anymore. We got to bring this back into existence. You know, you've already had experience with it, and you've seen some of the things that weren't right or weren't, you know, freedom, justice, and equality about it. But now having that knowledge and having that experience, what if you could reinvent the system? What if you can do it and do it the right way, rebuild it so that you and I know that, hey, here we are in the same geographical location. There's never going to be a time when you're in need and I can't, you know, you can't draw on me as a resource, whether I can do it myself, whether it's just somebody I know who has or who does what you need, and vice versa. If I'm in need, you know, you might not be my very next door neighbor, but at the same point in time, we have an understanding between us that whatever the need is, both of our brain power is going to go into finding a solution to that. And that makes us better than just individuals who live in, you know, North Maryland and South Maryland. That puts a little bit of power between us and creates energy that grows beyond what any one of us individually can do. I would love to see more of that. That I call that the blaze of glory syndrome. If there's anything I'm going to go out over, give my life for, I want to work towards making that a reality. And that's why this article about time banking up here in Columbia, Maryland, caught my eye. Just the fact that 275 people in this town, you know, they didn't necessarily know one another to begin with. And yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say that they have knowledge of self or anything like that, but they got a simple concept. Pool your resources, work diligently in a collective manner. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? They got it, though. They did it, and they're doing it. And it's working. They're proving that it works. So why can't we do the same thing? Why can't we establish that amongst ourselves, whether it's in Atlanta, whether it's in the D.C. area, whether it's way out there in Texas? I think I just feel compelled, like this is something that we have to do. So that takes us to the last 20 minutes of the show. I like to do a call to action. I like to make sure that even though this is wonderful discussion, I'm thankful that every time I get a chance to talk with Sister Keisha, Sister Gidget, and now Brother Eric is in the circle, I'm thankful every time that I get a chance to have a little stimulating conversation. But we know that this has to turn into action. This has to turn into some kind of tangible result. So in this last 20 minutes that we have, maybe we can all, you know, turn up the switch, crank it up a notch, and see how we can, wherever we are in our location, what would you think are implementable steps into making this a reality? Sister Keisha brought something good to the table. She said right from the beginning, it's a good thing to be clear on what it is, what the value of what's being brought to the table is. If you agree on a service, if you agree on a product, make sure that the important thing is a clear understanding of the value. But Eric brought something good to the table where he said the purpose really should not be, you know, what is actually being exchanged, but the idea that we are building a relationship that goes beyond what the present need is. I think that that's critical because I know that I'm going to need you at some point in the future, and I know that I want to be of value to you further on down the line. So that's a critical ingredient. And Sister Gidget, what did you say?
Oh, I don't know. I said so much.
Yeah, I blanked out when you were talking, Sister Gidget. I just, you know.
You always blank out when I'm talking. Basically, all I'm saying is that, you know, really what I think what we can do when you say call, you calling people to a plan of action, then, you know, if we have Sister Keisha down in Atlanta, we have you and Brother Eric in Maryland, I'm in Texas, you know, we talk to people all the time. And so, you know, why not work at networking the common idea? Why not work at creating people who are actually going to bring this into fruition? You know, we have so many people throughout the nation who have beautiful mindsets, beautiful ideas, and they just sit there stagnated. You know, in order to build a nation, you have to be moving. You have to be doing something. So, you know, a lot of times we look at numbers, but if you get a powerful group of four or five people that are actually doing the work, then, you know, that catches on, especially when it's proven what you're doing is working. So, you know me, Brother Vernon, you know, I'm a go-getter. I'm all about making it happen. So now that we've put it out there, you know, I'm just going to do it for you on your behalf, Brother Vernon. You know, anyone who is interested in time banking and bartering, y'all hear Brother Vernon up on his Facebook page.
Thank you.
And you can
see
up as well. And let's do it. Let's
find
make
the button
it happen.
To cut her off, too. I was trying to find that button. I couldn't get to it fast enough. But, yeah, that's the truth. That's right and exact with that. I wouldn't put it out there unless I was willing to commit to it. I think that there are some great things that can be accomplished when great minds come together. So, please, those of you who are on Facebook, make sure you look up Vernon Muhammad, look up Keisha Muhammad, look up Gigi Aziz and Marianne Muhammad, and look up Eric Day, D-A-Y-E, because we all are constantly looking at finding good people to interact with and to try out, to test out, and see if you actually are about what you say you're about. So drop us a line. It turns out, Sister Gidget, I thank you so much for showing me the reports of the show. The No Romance Without Finance show is actually growing and doing wonderfully. I see that there are quite a few people who are tuning in each week that we do a show. So I wanted to take a moment and say thank you to all of our listeners and all of those who come back and listen loyally through the archives and those who always seem to appear in the chat room. Thank you. Thank you so much. I definitely appreciate you. You are so valuable in my world. Let's go out and make some good things happen because eventually it's going to become more and more apparent as this storm is really making itself known and bringing the lessons clearer and clearer before my eyes that you're going to need the people who are around you more than you think you do right at this very present moment. So it would be best to take the opportunity while you have a choice in the matter and create community around you that you want to see. You know, build those relationships. Set the firm intention right from the get-go so that we don't have misunderstandings and mistakes in terms of what you expect from me and what I expect from you. Let's make that real when we say our word is our bond. Yeah, our word is one of the most valuable things that we have, and in some instances, it's the only thing that we have. And that's going to be the bond, the only thing that we have that sticks me to you and you to me. Let's take it seriously. That word is bond and bond is life. Let's start making sure that we don't promise more than we can deliver, and that if you're going to promise something, you do all that you can to make sure that you do deliver that. Let's be about
and yes,
who we say we are.
Let's focus on land ownership. Please, let's focus on land ownership. I can't say it enough. Let's focus on land ownership in groups.
Land ownership in groups. It might seem like
We know what the economy is like. You know, people can't afford to go out and buy land, but I think, you know, collectively we can do a lot. We can own acres of land. The minister said we've gone from 16 million acres of land ownership to 4 million. Really?
We're not good with the distribution of wealth as far as generational wealth. We have to work on that. But as in terms on the topic that we're talking about, bartering, that's actually more closer to reality than what we think. What we would need to do is, I think, the best way and the best method, being that we are so scattered out and we really don't have a physical place where we're in, all of us are in, like a community, and we're together, we can do it online. We need to solicit right now on the show to make this conversation a reality. Someone who does web, but who is a webmaster, somebody who knows computers, who can set up a website, and we can all chip in to get the ID or whatever. Someone who is good in law as far as arbitration and the legal goings on about how to settle disputes, if you have one. So we need to have that established right from the front, because that is going to give the people who sign up for that service a way and how this, A, how it operates, B, what happens if you're not satisfied, and C, what's the rest, what is your penalty? Because it has to be a penalty for doing bad business. There has to be a penalty, and that's one thing that we are not as good at as divvying out those penalties, but that needs to be clear, because if you continue to do bad service, that means you're not in the community. You're not in the structure of what it's supposed to be set up for. And then after you get those two pieces set up, all you have to do is just solicit everyone who wants to join. If you want, go ahead and join and make it free. You have to make it free. And then have people who want to sign up for that service. You may start up with maybe five or six, and then we can separate it on the website by region. okay, this is what happens in D.C. These are the people who are in D.C. that can provide these type of services. And someone who has an immediate need, say, for instance, I do typing. I type really fast. If someone had put on the first page and they have to pay to be on the first page of that particular site, I need someone to type up something for me or do some type of dictation for me by Tuesday. All right? And then they put that on the first page, and whoever wants to bite on that has the opportunity to do that. But that's the only thing that should be, that first page should be generating some type of income. So those are ideas that we can make a reality, and I'm making a call out for anyone who does web design, who knows anything about computers, who knows anything about law, who can establish this, help us establish this, and then we can make this conversation a reality. And then we can move forward to the land acquisition. We can start with apartment buildings and different things, because without housing, you can't do anything else. And if we can eliminate the housing problem, then we can move on to different acquisitions.
Yeah, we have a web builder right on the phone. We got Brother Vernon.
Here's the call to action. The Nation Building site is the repository, the host, really, the host network that the No Romance Without Finance show is on, along with several other shows. So this is Nation Building Radio. And on Facebook, we have the Nation Building page. Why don't you make sure you search, go to Nation Building, and you're going to see this show listed, the No Romance Without Finance show. Underneath this listing that's on the page, as soon as the show is over, it's going to be posted again. Right on that particular listing, drop us a line. Drop us your link, your name, who you are, what you do, and what you have to bring to the table, and where you're from, so that we can begin to organize that and, you know, find out who we're reaching out to. Just as Sister Keisha is saying, we can look at whatever city, whatever state it is that we're looking at and find out who has what to offer and know immediately who we can go to make some great things happen. We'll start it right there at the Nation Building page.
Okay. But you still going to do the website, right?
No doubt about that. No doubt about that. We got that part. That part is covered. We got anything dealing with our presence on the web will definitely be handled. But we do need more technically inclined people. We need graphic artists. Remember the first homework assignment of this this episode, this broadcast. Think about what it is you have to bring to the table. And with the last 9 minutes that we have, let's take about 5 minutes. We're going to go around. Let's think of everything that we would need in a community of people. Or if anybody had anything that they could offer, what would we like to see on the table? I'll go first. The first thing that I can think of is graphic designers, people who can actually do artwork for web pages, for flyers, for advertisements, anything that can be put up on the web. Graphic designers, we need you. What can somebody else put up?
Clerical work, typing, researching, things of that nature.
Right. Sister Keisha, what type of things could go into the bartering system that someone can offer the trade?
Legal advice, arbitrators. What are those people that sign things?
Notaries.
Notaries.
Notaries. Mm-hmm. Notaries.
Okay. Sister Keisha's still back on. You got
that's pretty much it.
All right, Brother Eric, what could someone put into the mix?
I guess figuring out what the exchange rates would be for certain services, or would that basically be figured out by the individuals doing the bartering?
I think that's to some degree that's an economist. There could be someone who puts the whole system like that together and comes up with those type of things. I guess on a small scale, you know, it's between point A to point B. It's business to business or person to person. But if it's, you know, if it grows the way that we want it to, and we want people across the country to have a standard way of doing things and a standard rate, then surely we can have someone come up and really systematize it. I think that would be a very good thing. And we're talking about an alternative economy, so it would make sense to have an economist on board. So you have something of value to offer, too. We have one more caller that's on the line from the 770 area code. Caller, identify yourself, tell us where you're calling from, and what would you like to see put on the table as a service or product that can be bartered?
This is your partner in crime, Brother Jihad Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, calling from Atlanta, Georgia, Brother Vernon.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
I would like to say, brother, that economics is warfare. So teaches the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And one of the first things that you would definitely need, brother, is a national security defense to protect anything that you build. And I just wanted to put that out there in the hearts and minds of the people, because without a military or a national security or ministry of defense for whatever you're building, you're really setting yourself up for a fall, because you have to have that to defend and protect and serve whatever it is that you want to build. And that's really number one base.
No doubt about it.
That's all I wanted to say, beloved. Now, enjoying the show, brother, but you notice I don't say much because this is a subject that I'm very illiterate on, so I'm just sitting learning from you, my brother.
I'm thankful for the opportunity to be on, and I'm thankful for the people who join me in the conversation, because we all help one another get stronger.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you being there, brother. Thank you so much.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Good people, we are in the last 5 minutes. Walaikum salam. We are in the last 5 minutes of the show. I appreciate you for tuning in. I appreciate you for listening. Sister Gidget, we got a powerful lineup this coming week, don't we? Or is the storm throwing everybody off? I know we have a Tuesday night show with Brother Jihad. We have on the front lines with the FOI. That's Brother Jihad Muhammad's show. Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Then what show comes up on Wednesday? That's DJ Black Caesar's show, right?
Yes. And he's introducing new artists. And Brother Jihad's show on Tuesday, he's doing part two of the male-female relationship. He's covering child support, the graduate rate and the incarceration rate of divorced children or single-parent homes. So he's covering a lot of information on his Tuesday night show. Wednesday night, DJ Caesar, he's going to introduce new artists. And on Thursday night, I'm coming back with the FOI, Speak from the Heart to the MGT. Can't wait for that one. And then, of course, Brother Vernon, next Sunday, inshallah, you will be back. Maybe we can have some people on the line by that time who have actually signed up to participate in the bartering bank or something. I don't know, but whatever you have on your heart, beloved, that's what we'll do.
No doubt about it, no doubt about it. Remember to go to the Nation Building page on Facebook. Drop your name in there. Let us know who you are and what you have to offer. And I got a feeling that some good things are going to come out of this discussion right here. Thinking outside the box, that's what it's about. There's no romance without finance. Unless you put first things first, you'll never get to what you want.
Let me just say this right quick. I'm sorry, because I don't know whether you know it or not, but there are like three groups called Nation Building on Facebook. So I just want to make sure they get the right one. It's Nation Building, Building Strong Families, Communities, and Marriages. Because we do have two other groups out there that have the same name.
Oh, my. Okay, then. Get with the winning.
Yes, sir.
I said zero and get with a hero.
Building Strong Families, Communities, and Marriages. That's what the full name of the group is.
Strong Families, Communities, and Marriages. Nation Building. That's the right one. If you can't find that one, if you're unsure, just drop to my page, Vernon Muhammad, or Gidget Muhammad, and either one of us will make sure that your information goes the right way. So thank you for listening. I appreciate all of your input. Thank you, Sister Keisha. Thank you, Brother Eric. Thank you, Brother Jihad. And thank you so much, Sister Gidget, Aziza Mariam Muhammad, way down there by the Panama Canal.
And thank you for always using my entire name.
Yes, ma'am. No No problem. I will do that each and every time you need me to. Everybody have a good night. Be prepared to have a wonderful week. Those of you who are on the East Coast, be safe. Take care of yourself. Make sure that you are as prepared as you can be. And trust in the Most High One. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, family.